I want today to learn. So far, we did three different sections. We learned about Mishenichnas Adamag Mesimcha, Mishloach Manos, and Matanos Lo Evyainim. Today, let's learn the laws of Kriyas HaMegillah. We may have to do this in two parts. We'll see how much we can do today, because I want to talk a little bit about Chodesh Adar. But let's learn some. We'll try to do today just the very, very basics. Okay, the letting of the Megillah, we lay the Megillah twice, at night and by day. What's the Zman? When is the earliest Zman to lay in the Megillah? So many would think, you know, today we're Machmir, we don't lay in the Megillah like Shabbos. Most people today will not lay in the Megillah before 50 minutes after sunset. Just like today, most people in this community will not do Malacha. Until 50 minutes after sunset has passed Mitzvah Shabbos. That's pretty common. Rav Moshe says that's what a person should do. Moshe Feinstein, you should wait 50 minutes. 50 minutes in America is equivalent to the 72 minutes of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, where did he live, Rabbeinu Tam? Where did Rabbeinu Tam live? The Baal of Yerushalayim, France? France or Germany? France? Rabbeinu Tam was France? Yeah? France or Germany? And Rabbeinu Tam...
It's further north than New York, yeah.
So he did 72 minutes. His calculation was 72 minutes. Rav Moshe says that in America, 50 minutes is more. It's more than 72 minutes of Rabbeinu Tam. And that's what many people are soymech on. Many people do malacha, they will not do malacha until after 50 minutes. And of course, many B'nai Torah will not do malacha until 72 minutes. They just want to take the Rabbeinu Tam literally. They wouldn't be machmir. Kol HaKavod, Tova Elohim Baracha. Some are more in the middle. They'll wait 60 minutes. And there are people who wait less. They can't say they're not. There are people who will only wait to do malacha 41 minutes. Okay, and years ago, before Avmoish Psaki popular, they would look for three stars. You can see three medium-sized stars in the sky. That's what it says in the Gemara. And Avmoish is arguing with that. Avmoish is saying, all Avmoish said is that 50 minutes for sure is more than enough. Avmoish will say that 50 minutes is the absolute number. Waiting 50 minutes for sure is equivalent to the 72 minutes of, but it's probably even more. So there are people that wait. There are people that I met when I was a child. There are people that they wait 30 minutes. Today, you don't find people publicly admitting they're going to wait after Shabbos is over. They'll do malach after 30 minutes. The average person will not do malach until 50 minutes after sunset. Now, laying the Megillah. Now, when it comes to breaking the fast, I've never seen in the calendar anyone wait 50 minutes to break a fast midrabbanan, except for Yom Kippur. Every single fast, you don't. There's only midrabbanan bizman hazeh, where it's a minog, and breaking the fast, 45 minutes. It's very popular. For the number, I don't know exactly why. I really do not know where it comes from. What?
Does anyone argue when sunset
is? No. Sunset is when the ball of the sun disappears. That's a scientific fact. That we rely upon the scientists, upon your they'll tell you to the second. Okay, there's a...
But every place has a different sunset.
Well, every place is different. It depends where you are. Today your smartphone can tell you to the hundredth of a second. Right. From where you are standing, when is sunset. If you go home, a block away, it'll be maybe a hundredth of a second different. Okay, if you go 10 miles north, it'll be maybe a half a second different. If you go to Baltimore, well, maybe it'll be 2 seconds different. It all depends where you are standing. If there would be no building in sight, if there would be no buildings in front of you, when is sunset? There is a question, if there's a mountain. Eretz will have this problem. In Eretz will there's a problem, is there are mountains. Yerushalayim is surrounded by mountains. So how do you view sunset? Do you look at sunset based upon what you can see, the naked eye? But the truth is, if we would slice the mountain out of the way,
then
sunset would be I don't know, a minute later, 2 minutes later, whatever it is. That's a dilemma. Okay, I'm not going, but let's not get sidetracked. Question is, when do we lay in the Megillah? When it comes to a Derabanan, we are generally very makel. For Dini Derabanan, Rav Moshe holds you do not have to wait more than 41 minutes after sunset. So what would be a Derabanan? Sfiras Ha'omer. If you want to count the Omer and make a bracha, how many minutes do you need to wait before you can make the bracha on the Omer? 41 minutes is more than enough. Some hold, that is Seis HaKochavim. Seis HaKochavim means three medium stars. Who is going to tell you what three medium stars is? You look into the sky, what does it mean, three mediums? First of all, what does your vision have to be to see three medium stars? 2020? Is that really true? Today we have corrective lenses, so everyone today is striving to have 2020. Some have even better than 2020. Okay, today you can have surgery, and they can make you, you can give your eyesight like eagles. You can see for miles if you really want. Some countries will do it for you. They'll put in, they'll make you into a bionic man. What is the average person? I don't know, Tama Chazal. Did the average person have 20/20? Is that the Torah's measurements of seeing three medium stars?
No,
wore glasses, right? They didn't wear glasses. So what does that mean? Does that mean they didn't need glasses? Does that mean they did not need glasses? And over the generations, our eyes have been weakened because of all this technology and pollution and diet, v'chulu v'chulu. No one has clear answers to these questions. All we know is Chazal say three medium stars. Okay, what is a medium star? Number two, it depends on my eyesight.
Depends on the day.
If someone, if someone has to go earlier, you could read them.
I'm getting to that one second. I'm getting to that in one second.
The union of nighttime and daytime, okay. The Aleph, and Zayin also.
I'm going to get to that one second. Let's go through the basics first, then we'll come back. When is this, when it comes to a mitzvah derabbanon, you do not need to wait 50 minutes. You can wait even 41 minutes. This is the minig by many people in this community. For a derabbanon, they'll wait 41 minutes. For the rice, they'll wait 50 minutes minimum. What about a fast day? I do not know why, but a fast day, the minig in this community, in all of the calendars, kemat, all of the calendars, they write down 45 minutes. There must be a reason why they put down that number, 45 minutes. When it comes to laning the Megillah is called Divrei Kabbalah. But the truth is, it's Divrei Kabbalah by day. It's interesting. At night, it's only Midrabanan. Laning the Megillah at night is Midrabanan. Laning the Megillah by day is called Divrei Kabbalah. What is Divrei Kabbalah? It's not a Derabanan, and it's not a Deraisa. It's somewhere in between, which we treat like a Deraisa. For some reason, I don't know why, even though it's clear that the laning of the Megillah at night is only Midrabanan, it's not Divrei Kabbalah, we still treat the laning of the Megillah at night like as if it was Divrei Kabbalah. And therefore, if it's Divrei Kabbalah, we give it the rules of Deraisa. And if we give it the rule of Deraisa, we lechatchila do not lay in the Megillah until 50 minutes after sunset. That's a general rule, but it's not always followed. Now, if a person is going away and he really needs to lay in, and he's not going to be able to lay in the Megillah anytime at night, b'di'avad, a person can lay in the Megillah after plag mincha. That's the halacha. It's only midrabanan. A person can lay in the Megillah 1 hour and 15 minutes of shol zemanios, which whatever that comes out to be, let's say for right now, an average of an hour and 15 minutes before sunset. So on Tainis Esther, when the sun is still shining outside, and it's only an hour and 15 minutes, it's an hour and 15 minutes before sunset, b'di'eved, you can already lane the Megillah if you know that you're not going to be able to lane the Megillah later, even with a bracha, I believe. You can lane the Megillah because since only midrabanan, and midrabanan, we say the day, the night already, according to Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara, that's already called the night. You can lane the Megillah with the bracha. And certainly if you could wait until after sunset, that would be better. Because according to the Gra, that's already called Lyle after sunset. And the ideal thing is to wait for it, say, Sa'akoychavim of 50 minutes, Daraisa. You want to wait midrabanan 41 minutes, or you want to wait even less, midrabanan, you want to wait 30 minutes, it's also good. So look at all the different madrigals of when you can lay in the Megillah. The ideal thing is to wait 50 minutes. Being that Megillah, it is rooted in Divrei Kabbalah to wait 50 minutes after sunset. Being that really it's only midrabanan, you don't need to wait really 50 minutes. You can lay in the Megillah 41 minutes after sunset, or you can lay in even 30 minutes after sunset if you really want. If you can't do that, then you can follow the Gra, and the Gra says that once the sun sets, then already it's called Laila, you can lay in the Megillah. And if you can't even do that because you're going away, then you can be Samech on the Shitoist, that it's already called Laila, when when it's plag mincha, an hour and 15 minutes before sunset. When is the last time, when is the latest time you can lay the Megillah? Alois HaShachar, dawn, 72 minutes before sunrise. That's the cutoff point. That's the cutoff point to lay in the Megillah for the night, the nighttime laying in the Megillah. Now what about it's past Alois HaShachar? So here's what gets confusing. When it comes to Kriya Shema, a person can say Kriya Shema Shalayla up until sunrise. And some will even pass sunrise. Why? Because Kriya Shema has nothing to do with the night. Kriya Shema has to do with the time when the person is sleeping. This is Yisoid in Masech Debrachos. B'shach b'cha. When you go to sleep. People sleep until sunrise. And some even later than sunrise. So a person technically can still be mekayim the mitzvah of Kriya Shema Shalayla of Arvis even after dawn has come, even after 72 minutes before sunrise, that window of 72 minutes before sunrise, even though it's beginning to get light, it's still a time when people are sleeping. And even after the sun rises, some hold you can still say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, because people have not yet fully gotten up for a short period of time after the sun has risen. But when it comes to the laying of the Megillah, the laying of the Megillah has absolutely nothing to do with the time when a person goes to sleep. The laying of the Megillah at night has to do with night. So in Halacha, what is night in Halacha? Night ends with Alois HaShachar, dawn. When is dawn? We pretty much accept dawn is 72 minutes before sunrise. That's the common accepted. Maybe when we lean, you want to go, let's say, 15 minutes before sunrise. There's some other calculations, what we hold to be sunrise, the dawn. But it's very much accepted as norm, 72 minutes before sunrise is dawn. That's the cutoff point. You can no longer say Mikra Megillah. How, if let's say that Zman has passed, so the place can say, B'dieved, you can still say the Megillah, but you can't make a bracha. You can't make a bracha for the Megillah of the nighttime once you're past 72 minutes before sunrise. Let's review. We have the nighttime Megillah. The laying of the Megillah at night is midrabanan. It's not deraisa for sure not. And the laying of the Megillah by day is what we call divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah means it was instituted by the prophets. Who are the prophets? Mordechai and Esther. And their fellows, the Anshei Knesses HaGadolah, is something which is divine. And we treat it like a deraisa. That's the daytime Megillah. The nighttime Megillah is derabban. But because the nighttime Megillah is a cousin with the daytime Megillah, so we like to be a bit more machmir than we ordinarily would be when it comes to another mitzvah, like Sfiras Omer. And therefore, the ideal thing is not to read the Megillah until 50 minutes past sunset, which is Zvtseis HaKoychavim in America, of course, in America, L'chol HaDeis. Now, what about if you can't do that? So you can go back and lay in like a Derabanan, 41 minutes, 30 minutes. If you can't do that, you can go back to sunset. If you can't do that, you can go back even to an hour and 15 minutes before sunset. And you can make a bracha. But once Alois HaShachar, come to the middle of the night, come to 72 minutes before sunrise, in Halacha, everyone holds, the day is over. The day is over, you can no longer make a bracha. Then after Alois HaShachar, until sunrise, if you really have not laid Megillah, you can lay it for the night time, but you do not make a bracha. Now what happens if you forget to lay Megillah at night? You're not available. Whatever, people are busy. Emergencies, there are situations. You'd have a Megillah. It could very easily happen where a person is fatracht, he is preoccupied, and he just was not able to lay in the Megillah at night. Is there a din tashlumin? We know that when it comes to davening, if you don't daven Ma'ariv, and it's not your fault, you daven a double shachris. You daven Shemun Esrei twice by day. Is there such a principle of tashlumin to lay in the Megillah twice by day to make up for not laying in the Megillah at night? And the answer is, buzz, absolutely not. No way, Jose. There's no, what's your shampoo? So what?
No, you can do it.
You can't do it. You can't do it. What are you doing? You can't do it. If you don't lay in the Megillah at night, it's a me'uva she'eino yochol liskoin. There's no way you can make up for the loss. You have to lay in the Megillah twice. at night and by day. This is a whole top of the Gemara, drashas, night and by day. Night is the Rabbanan, day is the Kabbalah, twice. If you don't lay in the Megillah at night, there's nothing you can do to make it up. Don't make a mistake and think that it's like davening. Davening, if you miss at Ma'ariv, you can daven a double Shachris. If you miss Mincha, you daven a double Ma'ariv. If you miss Shachris, you daven a double Mincha. There's no such thing when it comes to Mikra Megillah. If you lose it at night, it's gone. It's gone for good.
Okay.
What
about the other Megillah reading?
So other than that, the Megillah by day, when does it begin? The Megillah by day begins with Alayis HaShachar. You can technically lay in the Megillah 72 minutes before sunrise. No, there is no Tashlum. Absolutely not.
So both are the same?
Both are the same. You have a one-shot deal, one time. Only one time to lay in the Megillah. And now, when is the Zman of the day Megillah? Very easy, still from Alayis HaShachar, 72 minutes before dawn, you can make a bracha for the daytime Megillah, and it goes until sunset.
But it's funny, we say the Lo Yavor only the
case. That was not, we don't do that today. That's
a drasha, it's a drasha.
Right.
You can lay in the Megillah from 72 minutes before sunrise until, when can you make a bracha? I guess you can make 9 minutes after sunset. Rav Moshe holds 9 minutes is 2%, something like that, 2% of the day. Rav Moshe holds that you can be off by 2%. And 2% is like that, I think he says, I think 9 minutes, 7 minutes, 9 minutes, something like that. So you can still make a bracha after sunset, I guess, for 7 to 9 minutes after sunset, but that's it. And now, but l'chayre, you have to be able to finish the Megillah during that time. And if you start, is there such a halacha, if you start the Megillah sunset, you can continue? I would assume that b'diavad you can do so. It's no different than all the other mitzvahs hayom. As long as you start, I'm assuming this to be correct, maybe I'm wrong. I'm assuming as long as you start to read the Megillah before sunset, you can continue, you can finish the Megillah after sunset. But you least must start the Megillah with a bracha before sunset. And I imagine if that follows the rule of all other halachas, bris milah, then the first, after the deadline of sunset, for the first 7 minutes, you can consider it to be an extension of the day, because lo nitna Torah lemalachei hashareis. You don't have to be so precise, for you have another 7 minute buffer zone extension.
Is there a bracha at Aleph Yud Beis if somebody has to lay?
Not today. Today we don't do this at all. It's either bo bayom and that's it, because we don't have the society structured with all the rules that we need to trigger the provision. Even though the Gemara says that technically you can lay in the Megillah on day on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, not today. Today we don't follow those rules. Only time you lay in is on Yud Aleph. If you live in a walled city, Yerushalayim, the only walled city today is Yerushalayim. There's no other place that we follow. We don't know any, maybe Shushan HaBira. If you go to Persia, maybe there they lay in on day, they do that. They lay in on day 15, they do that. So probably the only two places in the entire world today. Not today. Don't live there. They don't live there anymore. They don't live there. No one lives where he says.
And also the Kever Sera Mordechai. Well, do you think that we are going to destroy it?
Right. We know about that. Okay. But Jews. It seems that Jews do not live today in the ancient Shushan. If there is even much left of it. No one lives there today, so it would appear that the only place in the world where people live today in a city that has the status of is Yerushalayim or Kodesh, and that's it. There, on day 15, there the big question, there the question is, what is called Yerushalayim? Is the new city Yerushalayim? This is a very old dilemma. What is the boundary of Yerushalayim where you blame the Megillah on day 15, on day 15 with a bracha? Where is the boundary? Certainly the old city, you can lane. But the question, what about in the new Yerushalayim? And even if you hold, you can, until where? Until you go to the Ramada Hotel. The Ramada Hotel is problematic, because the Ramada Hotel, I don't know, today, maybe today it's different, but there used to be in between the hotel, that section of, even though on the map, it's part of Yerushalayim, but there's an area, very significant, that there was at least years ago, maybe, where there's nothing there. It's just, there's no one living for it. There's a chunk of territory where it's empty. So can we still say that it's part of Yerushalayim, and in the Ramada Hotel, you can still make a bracha on the Megillah day 15? Okay, these are questions, these are old questions, different opinions. Not for now, but basically, We in America will lean, of course, on day 14. Let's go to another.
So the
Bar
Tashlumin,
there's no Tashlumin.
No, but I'm saying if you're Eretz Yisrael, you can go to Yerushalayim if you miss it at night.
It depends where you live. You have to be living there. Yeah, if you just, you have to be sleeping there as well. You have to settle down. Yeah, you're right. So if you miss, you want to get on a plane, I'm going to sleep here for the day. That might be a solution. You're saying very good. If a person missed the Megillah at night, you missed the Megillah here, and you feel so bad that you missed out the Megillah reading at night. So there's a solution. Immediately get on a plane, first thing in the morning, Alois HaShachar, and go to Eretz Yisrael. It'll take you how many hours to get there?
You're going to miss it.
Because it's 7 hours ahead. So you got to go on a Concord. You got to resurrect. Oh, let's say you're living in Eretz Yisrael. So I said, not in America. You're living in Eretz Yisrael. You're in Bnei Brak. And you, the whole night goes by. Right. So then just move into the Waldorf. Move into the Waldorf for the night. You move in. So once, oh, I'm now a resident of Yerushalayim. So now I can lay in the Megillah on day. You can make in Echnam. You can make it up by moving into Yerushalayim for the what you've missed out on. Okay, now, next halacha. Mikra Megillah is a very unique mitzvah. It's considered to be the most, it writes over here, and this is a modern sefer, mitzvah kriyas Megillah chashuva hi ad lema'oid. He's trying to copy what the Rambam says, but Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad lema'oid. He writes here the word chashuva, I don't know where he got this nusach from, chashuva hi ad lema'oid. Why? It's the only mitzvah where Chazal say Yemavatel Talmud Torah leMikra Megillah. It doesn't say Yemavatel Talmud Torah to light Chanukah candles. It doesn't say that. Maybe the halacha is you do. That might be the halacha, but it doesn't say that. The only place where it explicitly says that Yemavatel Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is the most important thing. The Talmud Torah Kineget Kulam. We say this every single day after we make Birchas HaTorah. Kineged kulam, and yet for the words to come out of the mouth of Chazal to say mevatlin talmud Torah lemikra Megillah, how you talking such a thing? It goes to show how important Mikra Megillah is, and why is that so? So there are probably 100 reasons, but the most basic reason is because kimu v'kiblu, the story of Purim was Kabbalah Satora, the result of. What was the result, the net gain of the Purim miracle? So I always tell you the net gain was the Beis HaMikdash is now going to be rebuilt. The Aseres Bnei Amon who issued a stop order, the stop order was canceled, and now they resume building the Beis HaMikdash. But that's one approach. But another, more probably a more significant result of the Purim story is Kimu V'Kiblu. Kimu Masha Kiblu Kivar. There was a new acceptance of the Torah. Until this point in time, there was always a complaint against Klal Yisrael that they accepted the Torah under duress. Kofa Aleim Har Kegigis. Yeshu Sham Tacha Sahar. Beneath the foot of the mountain, Hashem was going to drop the mountain upon them if they did not, if they said no. So we were forced. If we were forced, we can always say, listen, don't blame us. We never really wanted to accept the Torah. You forced us into it. We can no longer say that. Because after the miracle of Purim, we came to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we were makabel with Ratzon. Therefore, our license of Talmud Torah only comes from the Purim miracle. So therefore, it only makes sense that you have to be mevatel Torah lemikra Megillah. Why do you learn Torah? The only reason why you're learning Torah is because there was a Purim miracle.
I think it's a funny language though. Why should we use the word mevatel?
To bring out the point.
No,
it's not Torah. That's the point. It's not Torah. Reading the Megillah is reading Psukim is not the same level as what a real Talmud Chacham would be doing with his time. Had he not gone to Mikra Megillah. There are different types of learning. There's a superficial learning, and there's learning in depth. So I'm talking about a real Talmidei Chachamim. Okay? Real Talmidei Chachamim, at this point in time, they would be immersed, heavily immersed in the study of Torah. Not talking about people like me. We're talking about, you know, the real deal. They wouldn't be playing with their phones at that time. They would be really learning for the real heavy-duty learning. And now, I have to Mevatel Seder to go hear the Megillah. 45-minute reading of the Megillah, or maybe 20-minute reading, that's not that Bittul Torah. Guess what? The only reason why you learn Torah to begin with is because there's something called the Megillas Esther. Kimu v'kiblu. This story tells you how you got here. You have to renew your license. You got to renew your license. Sorry, buddy, that's the way it goes. It makes a lot of sense. That is one of the main reasons why it's a davar chomer ad me'oid to learn, to read, to hear the reading of the Megillah. Next. Okay, next halacha. Okay, we said that by day. We did this. Okay, now eating. You're not allowed to eat until you learn the Megillah. That's halacha both by day and at night. If by day, for some reason, you didn't daven, you think you're not going to go to shul, you can't go to shul, and someone, you davened already, you davened b'yichidus, and now someone is coming to your home to learn the Megillah for you, the person is not chayle, he's not allowed to eat until he hears the Megillah, both by day and at night. Tainus Esther, it's very hard. You're fasting the whole day. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't have this problem. Yerushalayim don't have this problem because there it's on another day. Then Yerushalayim, they fast on the 13th, and the 14th is nothing. It's a regular day. And on the 15th day is Purim. So they're not fasting. They're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat until you first lay in the Megillah.
But from when?
I mean, from when?
From when can
the beginning of the night. What?
From when can you not eat?
From the beginning of the day. The Zman arrives.
Observing the fast. If you're not fasting, fasting.
Very excellent question. Actually, if you're not fasting, very good question. So technically, it would appear... Technically, from an hour and 15 minutes before sunset.
The earliest time that you technically can
in the Megillah. Now, a person can't even do that because it's hard. He needs to eat then also. So then at the very least, just go up higher, sunset. Don't eat from the time of sunset. You can't do that. At least don't eat from 30 minutes after Shkia. Okay, the ideal thing is not to eat from an hour and 15 minutes before sunset. Because that already is the Zman of Mikra Megillah. That's the Zman of Mikra Megillah. Right. The Purim would come out on Mitzvot Shabbos. No, but that is different because that's Shabbos. You can't tell a person not to eat on Shabbos. Shabbos, you're allowed to eat a Sholosh Su'udos. So then it would be Mitzvot Shabbos. That once it's ready, once you finish Shabbos, when Shabbos is over, then is now the Zman of Mikra Megillah, then you now leave the Lava Malka until you go and you lay in the Megillah.
No Havdalah.
Havdalah. We're not this. That's another discussion. No, when do you make Havdalah? Ideally, Havdalah should really be made after. But
when
we can't. Okay, so that's not another topic. We're getting sidetracked. It's not Nogea this year, so let's focus on what's Nogea this year. This year, what is Nogea is that Tainus Esther, but people who are not fasting and are not in the matzah of Sakana and can eat a nice breakfast and lunch, and now it's now in later in the day, the proper thing is not to eat from 1 hour and 15 minutes before Mincha, before sunset, until after you hear the Megillah. If that cannot be done, at least from sunset. If that even that, at least from when it gets dark, when it begins to get dark, until you hear the Megillah. Now, what about us? What about people who are fasting? So now it's the opposite. It's very, very hard. It's already, let's say 15 minutes after Shkia, and you're very, very hungry. It's been a very long day. You went to work. You're very tired, very hungry. You really cannot eat. The fast is over. So a person can be lenient if he needs to, and he can just be toye ma'at. The fast is over. And the reason why you're not allowed to eat is because if you're going to eat, you're going to forget, you're going to get distracted, and you're not going to end up ever learning the Megillah. You'll eat, you'll get distracted, you'll fall asleep. So, but if you only are toye ma'at, just take a small little taste. Take a half a cup of water, take some water, take maybe some juice, take a half a Danish. I mean, half a regular. That b'di'eved is okay, especially if you're not going to be able to concentrate during the Megillah. And therefore, what is a nafka mina? A shul should under no condition make a kiddush. Under no condition should a shul put out in the shul food for the oila. If people need to eat in the back, b'tzina, they can go out and have a piece of cake.
Go out and
have a cup of coffee. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I asked the Shiloh only 10 times because I not anymore because now I can't get, no one wants to let me lane anymore. I have a hard time getting a place to lane. But back in the day when it was much easier, I had opportunities to lane. I wanted to eat in order to have koyach to lane. And I asked this to a few places and they all told me, yes, they all told me the same thing. Yes, a little bit, bitsina. Don't go by the Bima, take a cup of coffee, come with a cup of coffee to the Bima. You go out, bitsina, privately, no one should see, even someone sees, but just don't do it with a hesia, and a small amount, just what you need to lay in the Megillah. And that's not just true for the Baal Kriya, it's true for everybody, anyone. Now, if you don't have to, there is definitely an Indian not to eat anything. It's preferred not to eat anything. Zero, for many reasons. This is not our topic now. Number one is the basic halacha. You're not supposed to eat before you lay in the Megillah because there's a very important mitzvah in front of you. And the rule is you don't eat before you do a mitzvah that is rare, that comes around once a year. Kriya Shema, every night you can say the same thing. Every night you can say, you should not eat until you daven ma'arif. How could you eat before you daven ma'arif? You have a mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriya Shema. So the answer is, listen, every night, Kriya Shema is every single night. You can't be matriach a person every single night not to eat until he does the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is every single night. And then we have all the heterium because we have a kovias, we daven ma'arif at a set point in time, we're going to remember this and that. But Megillah is a mitzvah that's choviv and choshev, it's once a year. Anything that's rare, that's unique, we activate this halacha, you don't eat until you do the mitzvah. But there are rules, there are leniencies where the situation demands. And then there's another inyan, and this is something which is very common, this is more a hashkafic principle is, there's an inyan to lay in the Megillah while you're fasting.
Why?
Because the Megillah is not necessarily a happy document. The Megillah, akate avde achashverosh anan. The Megillah, many of the Farshim point out, is very similar to Eicha. There are a lot of parallels between Megillas Eicha and Megillas Esther. Those who are experts in music, will tell you that the Nigun of the Megillah and the Nigun, the melody of Eicha, are cousins. Okay, you have to be skilled in this art to understand that. No, there are psukim. That's another halacha. There are a few psukim which we lay in the nigun of Eicha. That's also true. But besides that, let's talk about the regular nigun. Vayihi b'me'achashverosh. That melody, I don't get it. I really don't. People tell this to me. I know people that are musical. They tell me it's definitely true. I really can't pick this up. But if you're trained in the art of music, you will understand that the same composer. You know, you know certain composers like Yechmiel Begun, the Miami Boys Choir. He's a brilliant, brilliant mind. It's amazing. His songs are, you know, some of it, you don't even realize some of the things they play by Chopas are all his. But if you notice, I used to study his work. I really enjoy very much his creativity. If you notice, a lot of his songs are very similar.
Same.
All the same. They all have this chut that goes through them all.
I find most artists.
Shlomo Kalbach.
Right. Kalbach also, there's a chut. There's a common thread that Kalbach also. Very rare to find an artist that's unique. In the Elam of Drush, okay, people, Machachim, the classic, an Arachayim. Arachayim, there's a certain style in Arachayim, there's a certain style in Kliyaka, there's a certain style. Who's unique in this matter? Chassam Sofer. They all say this. Chassam Sofer is one of a kind because you cannot predict what he would say. Once you know their derech, a lot of the commentators, you can predict, oh, this is a vart, oh, it sounds like a Baal Shem Tov. It sounds like an Arachayim, a maral. The Chassam Sofer, not predictable. It's not predictable. Wow, the Chassam Sofer said that's not. There is no way to define the Chassam Sofer. That's his brilliance. That's the kind of his brilliance. Okay, but the people will tell you that when you lay in the Megillah, there's a thread that goes through Eicha and the Megillah, and we lay in a psukim from the same nigun, and akate Avdei Achashverosh Anan. We are still slaves of Achashverosh Ad Hayom Hazeh. Thus, this Hashkafik Inyan. That's why you bedavka should lane it when you're fasting. It's like saying kinnis. Strange to say, right? It's
why
like
are we
saying
still slaves to Achashverosh?
Because we're in Golus. We're in Golus. The miracle of Purim took place in the time of Golus. Unlike Hanukkah, which took place Bizban Shabes Hamikdash Hayakayim, unlike all of the Moadim Deraisa, it took place in the times of Golus, and we're still in Golus. So therefore, it's a happy day, but there is an element in Purim of Golus. There's a sadness to the miracle. There's a sadness. There was a very great tragedy in Purim. What happened in Purim? Daniel was murdered. There was enormous collateral damage that came with Purim. Daniel, the Gadol Hadar, the Ish Chamudos, was murdered in cold blood, according to one opinion. Okay, the children were terrified. The children probably needed therapy for the rest of their lives. You read the Midrashim of what happened when Haman would come. Haman was like this monster. Haman had this glee in terrorizing Jewish children. And you don't think they were damaged? Okay, today we know all too good, unfortunately, that a child's mind is wet cement. And you say boo to a child, will come back and sue you 50 years later for scaring him in the dark. Right? That's the way it is today. We appreciate this. And maybe it's a little bit exaggerated. It's a bit exaggerated. Not? I don't know. It's maybe a bit exaggerated, but certainly what Haman did to the children had an effect on them.
It's
so
like the children hit Haman.
They hit
a lot.
That's right. There's something to it. It's not so today we are more in tune to appreciate the damage, the collateral damage of Purim than previous other generations. We scientifically understand this today, how this works. So Purim is a very happy holiday, but it's a very sad holiday. So therefore, it's very complicated. Therefore, you bedafka are supposed to lay in the Megillah when you're fasting. Do you lay in Eicha when you're fasting?
Yes.
You certainly do. So you lay in the Megillah when you're fasting also. Okay, so it's not a good thing, like what I do, to eat before you lay in the Megillah. That's a very big b'dievet. Maybe that's why Hashkacha, they knocked me out of the box. They don't want me to lay anymore because they want someone, bedafka, who is taka, fasting. There's an inyan that you should be in the matzav of tainis when you lay in the Megillah. Like you're in a matzav of tainis when you lay in Megillas, Eicha. There's such a thing. Now if you can't, you can't. But just because you can't, doesn't mean you have a meal. If you see a shul have a kiddush after the tainis is over, and they're giving out food and shul, that's not correct. I'm sorry, that is already befarhesia, that goes against the whole grain of before the Megillah. No, after the Megillah, do whatever you want. Megillah, when davening is off, you can serve kesuda shalom v'shaitoy. After. But to give out food in shul itself, before they lay in the Megillah, you have a break. Okay, everyone now going to make kiddush, like before tekiyas. For everyone go home now, and then we're going to have a meal, come back, and have kiddush. It's not correct. Mm-hmm. If you need to eat, you eat. Only ma'at, a small, small, teeny amount just to get by. The Megillah takes in the shul about an average, between 30 to 40 minutes. 30 minutes. A regular shul. Not talking about a job you're doing at home for your wife. You do it in 20 minutes, 18 minutes. An 18-minute Megillah. Good for you. But in shul, if you do it in 18 minutes, something is really, really wrong. A shul takes, let's be realistic, a real shul with serious people, 40 minutes, 40, 45 minutes, till everyone sits down, settles down, you're in the Megillah, they say the psukim, you do it right. Like someone said to me, I went to a concert, they played, I don't know, I'm not fluent in Beethoven, and they played Beethoven, the Symphony. It normally takes, to go through the Symphony, it takes 45 minutes, and I went to the concert, they did it in 20 minutes. Did it in 20 minutes. Are you crazy? What kind of, and I paid also $100. I went to the concert, got great front row seats. It normally takes, Beethoven, when he composed it, it takes 45 minutes to go through, though, the Symphony, to go through. They did it there in 20 minutes. It was gewaldig.
Did you know the difference?
What?
Did you know the difference?
I don't know anything. But people who are connoisseurs, in 20 minutes, or they rush it up?
No, it's kind of, music has a special time frame that they have to do it.
Maybe they cut it.
Has a time frame, right? So they did it what normally takes 40 minutes. They did it in Lincoln Square. What's no, not cut out. No, that's what I'm not to cut out a movement. Don't cut out. Just do it fast. Just do it faster. Do it fast instead of not chas for some to cut it out. Don't cut it out.
He writes Dante, he writes Largo, he writes different speeds at this.
Different speeds, right? So you manipulate it. So the orchestra. The Philharmonic, they manipulated it where they did it high speeds. So tell me, is that pleasing to the connoisseur? No time, right? So if you go to the Megillah was meant to be read, I don't know what they had in mind, but they didn't have in mind 13 minutes. Okay, the Guinness Book of World Records for laying the Megillah, no way did Mordechai and Esther have in mind that the Megillah should be read in 13 minutes. So this is not a Megillah reading. Just like when you go to a sympathy, you go to a concert, if they're going to play the music, what normally takes 45 minutes, and the musicians are skilled to move their hands so quickly, they can get out every single note. They'll get out every single note, they'll reduce it from 45 minutes to 20 minutes. Are you going to pay for that? You're not going to pay money to go hear a concert where the musicians can move their hands very quickly to get it over with. You're losing the whole time. So the Megillah is meant to be learned a certain way. Okay, we are going to finish a few things here. Okay, next. Now, how many people do you need to learn the Megillah? 10 people. Let's say you don't have 10 men. Do women combine to the minyan? So believe it or not, this is one of the only things that women combine. Women combine because women, you know, because it's the din of the Megillah, 10 people, is a very big dilemma. Is it the din of Davrusha B'Kedusha, or is it Pirsumei Nisa? If it's a Davrusha B'Kedusha, you need 10 men. You cannot combine a woman for a minyan to say Kaddish, to Baruch Hu Davin, Shemon Esrei, no such thing. But Pirsumei Nisa, to publicize the miracle, there's also an element of 10 people to pursue Menisa, and that it's a matter of deis. The Gemara says deis, minds. And a woman has a mind no less than a man. So then there is such a concept that if you don't have 10 men, it's better to lay in the Megillah with a combination of men and women than to lay in the Megillah alone. 10 deis. What about children? Can children combine to this minion of 10? Not so similar. Shulchan Aruch does not mention children. Shulchan Aruch mentions men and women. Shulchan Aruch does not mention children. The place can say, why not children? Children, a child that's Higil Chinuch, already has Seichel, certainly a 9-year-old child, should be no worse than a woman in combining for Pursum and Nisa. So therefore, if you have only, let's say, you have eight men, and there are two children, so should you lay together with the two children? Or no, go home, everyone lay themselves. It's not so simple. Why shouldn't children be any different than combining with women as well? Okay, now a woman, can a woman lay in the Megillah? Not Barabim. It's not correct for a woman. It's not covered at seal for a woman to lay for men unless it's her own family. Her husband and her children, a woman can lay and can be moitzi them, because why? Af hein hayu ba'osei hanes. Women were included in the miracle. Lahashmid laharigul abedes kol hayud minav yad zokin tav vinoshim biyoy mechad. So, being that af heim hayu ba'isa hanes, they have the same obligation, and therefore a woman can lend for a man, provided, of course, that is not an issue of tznius, which means it's her own husband or her children. But it's not proper for a woman to lend for a man that's not her family. That is not a, that's a breach in the gather of tznius. Now, some want to say that's not so simple even this, because this principle of af hein hoyu ba'isa hanes just means they're obligated. It does not necessarily mean that their obligation is equal to the obligation of a man. This is a major sugya. The sugya of af hein, feminine, af hein hoyu ba'isa hanes. We say this by Chanukah, we say this by Purim, we say this by Matzah, we say this by Yitzias Mitzrayim. And we say by fourth halacha, the man, the Nani Akavod, we said in my four places. And the question over here is, does that principle, Af Hein Hoyu Ba'isa Hanes, it overrides a mitzvah saseh she'azman grama? Normally a woman is exempt if it's man grama, but if the woman was a beneficiary of the miracle, then they're still obligated. Does that mean their obligation is equal to men, or the obligation is an obligation but not equal? Men have a different, and therefore they cannot be right to say a man. When it comes to Megillah, we're mekel. We're very lenient, and we hold that it's equal, and therefore a woman can read the Megillah for her husband and his yotze, but not for a man that's not a family, because that is not proper. There are cherets for Orthodox Jews. In Ovel, should not be the one that's in shul, because he can't say the Shechianu in public. So unless he's the kavua, okay, that's a different thing. If he's the Baal Kriya kavua, then an Ovel can be the one that lands the Megillah in shul, but someone else should say publicly the Shechianu. Okay, now, interesting halacha, we make the Shechianu, we know that you have to have kavana for the mitzvahs hayoim. For the mitzvahs, the one mitzvah hayoim, there are three mitzvahs hayoim that we make a bracha on. Shechianu for the Suda, the Mishloach Manos, and the main Shechianu is for the Mikra Megillah. Should you have Kavana on Matanois Levyainim? No, that's not right. You don't go make a Shechianu. Oh, Baruch Hashem, there are poor people. Shechianu v'kimanu v'giyanu, to see that you're so poor and destitute that I need to give you a few dollars. That's ridiculous, totally ridiculous. You don't say, the Gabbai in Shul, he makes an announcement, we're now going to make a Shechianu. And the Shechianu is going upon the mitzvah, primarily on the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah. That's the primary mitzvah. But you should have kavana that the Shechianu is also going for the mitzvahs hayoim, which include Mishloach Monois and the Seudas Purim. Don't say that the Shechianu is also going on Matonois Lo'ev Yainim. That's not correct. Because you don't make a Shechianu on someone else's tzaris. Okay, by Bris Mila, most kehilas in Klal Yisrael do not make a Shechianu by a Bris Mila, because Tzara Dianuka. So if you don't make a bracha of the Tzara Dianuka, which is minimal, I mean, who am I to say, right? How do I know what's going on in the mind of the child? In the mind of the child, who knows? We don't really know what we don't know. So really, the truth is, no one knows what that means. Tosfos says Tzara Dianuka. So scientists today are trying to decipher this Tosfos. Really, when a child cries by a Bris Mila, 8 days, 8-day-old child. When he cries, when they do the bris, they mamash, you hear the baby cry when they do the ma'aseh bris. Why is he crying? Does he really sense pain? No one knows. No one really knows. No one knows. We know for a fact that children cry out of reflex. It's not a cry of tsar. We all know that adults cry when they're adults, not out of reflex, out of tsar. A baby cries, this is a scientific fact, they cry out of reflex, not because they're in any real pain. So when the child is crying, Bris Mila, is he developed to a point where he really feels significant pain, that's what is the trigger of the cry, that we should say, there's real tsar, and that would have a practical nafkmin la halacha. Tzara d'yanuka, don't make a Shechianu. It's not right. Because the Gra held that you do make a Shechianu. In Eretz Yisrael, it seems that the minig is more common, the minig of the Gra in Eretz Yisrael, to make a Shechianu by a Bris Mila. What's the pshat? The big chakira. Is the pshat that the Gra held that there is no tsar? He's cholik on Taisvis? Can a Gra, an Achron, be cholik on a Taisvis? It's not the first time that the Gra will be cholik on a Rishain. Okay? Or is the pshat, the Gra says, that's right, there's tsar. That's right, there's a lot of pain. So what? So what? Even though there's tsar, I still want to make a Shechianu. That's a chakira. It's a very powerful chakira. What does the Gra mean to make a Shechianu by a Bris Mila? Okay, but one thing is, we don't play around with this. By an Evyoin, there's real tsar for sure, and you don't make a Shechianu. Now here's the chiddush. The chiddush is that you make this bracha even at night. And this is a very chiddush. We discussed this halalacha. We discussed this, that there's no mitzvah of Mishloach Manos at night, and there's no mitzvah of Seudas Purim at night. the Sudas Purim and the Mishloach Manos are by day. Matonos Levyanim you can give at night, but not the other two. Yet the Poskim say when you make the Shechiyanu at night, you can even have Kavana for the next day for the Mitzvah Sayyim. That the mitzvah cannot be done by day, but the shechiyana you're making it the night before, you can already have kavana for the next day. So you can have the kavana at night and you make shechiyana twice. The nafkin, ashkenazim, and svardim. The svardim, they do not make a double shechiyana. They make it at night, they don't make it by day, right? You make a shechiyana by day, make a megillah, you make a yomek by only at night, once. Only at night, okay? But ashkenazim make it twice. So even Ashkenazis, what does Sfardim do? When do they make a Shechiyanu on Mishloach Manos and the Sudas Purim? They make have Kavon at night.
Yes.
At night. Whatever. So Ashkenazim also can have Kavon because you may forget to have Kavon by day. Okay, when you lay in the Megillah, you're supposed to open up the entire Megillah from the beginning like a Nigeres. A Nigeres only when you lay in the Bitzibor and when you say the words Eis twice, Eis Huigeres Hazois, and it says, the second time it says, Nigeres HaPurim HaZois. You say it twice. You make mention, and the Megillah is called Nigeres twice in the Megillah, and when you come to those points, you shake the Megillah. When you make the bracha, the Megillah should already be open. When you make the bracha at the very end, you do not make the bracha until you first roll up the entire Megillah. People get very, they don't know the halacha, and they get very frustrated. Everyone says, no. They're very frustrated. Don't say no so quickly. The halacha is, when you finish the Megillah, which has been opened up like an Igaris, a big fancy Megillah, you're not, the Baal Kriya is not supposed to say the concluding bracha, Harav Esri Venu Vadones Dinu, until he first completely rolls up the Megillah. They roll up the Megillah very quickly, and the Megillah is rolled on the Bima, and then he says the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Harav Eshriveinu Va'adon Estineinu. Not until then, for infuriance, because first of all, that bracha, Harav Eshriveinu, is not really a bracha on the Megillah. That's a separate, independent right. Blessing. It's not, if you're going to make the bracha the moment you finish laying the Megillah before you roll it up, then it would indicate that the bracha is like a bracha acharoina for the Megillah. There is no bracha acharoina for the Megillah. Only when you get an aliyah, there's a bracha rishoina and a bracha acharoina. The bracha Rav Eshveinu V'adon Estineinu is an independent bracha, which happens to be recited when you finish laning the Megillah. So in order to show that it's an independent bracha, you make the bracha when you finish rolling up the Megillah. The tzibor, the minig by most shuls, is the tzibor stands for the brachos. For the brachos, they stand and they sit for the reading. It's a big mystery why that should be so. There's hakpadah to sit for the reading, but we stand for the brachos. And the bracha, harav eshriveinu, likewise, they stand. The Baal Kriya must stand. The Baal Kriya must stand. The Baal Kriya does not sit. Echa, the Baal Kriya sits. Okay, night of Tisha B'Av, the one who lanes Eicha from a Eicha, whether it's a Chumash or a Klaf, he sits. Megillah, what?
According to the Gra,
everyone, saying no difference. What? The Gra says no. You don't make Shachin. No one makes Shachin on Eicha. How can you make a Shachin on Eicha? Eicha is a sad thing. The Gra says you make a bracha on the Megillah. The Gra holds you make a bracha on Al Mikra Megillah, but not a Shechiyanu. The other Megillahs you make a Shechiyanu, and according to the Gra, Rus Shirashirim, and Koheles, you make two blessings. You make a Mikra Megillah and a Shechiyanu, but Eicha you make a bracha, but you do not make a Shechiyanu. Fine.
We have in the document today, Kishem Shuadam Erech Anatollah.
Kach Erech Anatollah. Okay. You make Ashkenazim make two brachas. If you talk between the bracha and Vayhi Bimei Achash Verosh, you're not yoytzei the bracha. It's a bracha levatala. You're not allowed to talk between the bracha and the beginning of the Megillah. But once you lay in a few psukim, even one pasuk, then if you're mafsik, if you talk in the middle, it's not ma'akev. Okay, you're not supposed to be mafsik in the Megillah, but once you already blamed a few apostle, even one word it would seem, then the bracha was chal upon the word. It is not it's not ma'akev. Okay,
you can say two times
we lay in five psukim, there are five psukim. that the tzibur responds, Ish Yehudi, Balayla. Now, we don't do Balayla, that's what's fine. We do four. We only do four. We do Ish Yehudi, Mordechai Yotza, and Kimordechai, and Laihudim. Okay, so we do these things, and the Baal Kriya must repeat it. The minig became today that when it comes to the Aseres B'nei Haman, the Shliach Tzibur stops. This is not really the real minig for some reason, but everyone does like this today. It evolved. The Shliach Tzibur stops. Everyone says it themselves to do B'neshima Achas. You cannot be Moitzi B'neshima Achas. And then the Shliach Tzibur repeats it. He repeats it, so the Shliach Tzibur is supposed to wait. Wait. It used to be that the Shliach Tzibur did not wait. The Shliach Tzibur said it, and everyone said it by themselves. And then they just went further. Today the minhag has become where the Shliach Tzibur stops, and everyone says the B'neshima Achas. And then the Shliach Tzibur says the B'neshima Achas, I guess for those people who don't know how to read, and they say the wrong, and they say the wrong words. What? Yeah, but the problem is probably here because they don't say the right words. They don't say it correctly. Okay, there's an Indian when you say Yavoi. This is everybody more probably Yavoi Hamelech V'Haman Hayoyim Yishav Kavon. It's Hashem's name. The Rosh Eteva is Yud Kei Vav Kei because Hashem's name does not appear in the Megillah. Why not? It's Pshat and Drash. Pshat is because this is a legal document. It was stored with many. There are many reasons because the government. This is something which the government had a hold of. They kept this as their records. They kept. Therefore, they don't want the Shem Hashem to be mutl b'zoyin, locked up in a library or locked up in the Library of Congress. Okay, it was a legal document.
It's strange that you put Haman in there. To make up the Shem Hashem.
Yevayim Melech Haman. Good point. Very good point. It's Vi Haman. It's not really Haman. It's Vi. It's the Vav. You're right. I don't know. It's very strange. It is right. Okay, so it's a legal document, and it was part of the public record. That's the only one of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh that is part of the public record. Chamishei Chumshei Torah are not in the Library of Congress, or it doesn't belong there. Okay, Art School, they presented the whole ceremony. Mayor Zlotowitz presented the Library of Congress with a set of Art School, the Art School Shas. It's actually physically in the Library of Congress, the Art School Shas. But the Chamish, hopefully, did not give them the stone edition of the Chumash. Okay, the stone edition of the Chumash does not belong in the Library of Congress. This is not part. It's not part of the public record. You're not allowed to. Okay, it's not supposed to, because this is sacred. This is sacred. It does not belong in the Library of Congress. The only book of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh that belongs in the Library of Congress is Megillas Esther. Thus, you can't have Hashem's name, because it's a bizarre for Hashem's name to be there with all the shkots and v'rumasim in the Library of Congress. That's one reason. Another reason is because it's called an Igeris. I never saw this before. The new time is called a letter. People are going to make a mistake. They're going to say if the Megillah is called an Igeris and it has Hashem's name, so when I send you an Igeris, when I send you an email, I might as well write Hashem's name in it as well. When I send a letter to my friend, I'll also write Hashem's name. No worse than the Megillah. The Megillah is an Igeris, and in the Igeris you write Hashem's name, so my private letters I'll write Hashem's name. So Chazal did not want to send the wrong message to people to write Hashem's name in their private letters. They said no name. And of course the Drash, which really it's so obvious, is that's exactly what Purim is all about. The whole Purim is all about is, do we know Nisim Guluyim? You didn't see Hashem Zeh Keliv Yanveu, but also Shivcha Shemaya Mashloi Rachez Gemuzi. You didn't see Hashem in front of you. The whole miracle Purim is Hashem is in hiding, but Hashem is in hiding. We're able to discover Hashem in hiding. The whole Megillah is Hashem. We don't need Yudke Vavke. The point of the Megillah is to discover Hashem. Okay, so therefore Hashem's name is not there, but you have to Akavan when you say Yava Anov Aman. This is a new thing to have this in mind. All right, out of time. Let me just tell you one thing about Chodesh Adar, and we'll stop. Chodesh Adar is Mazel Dagim. Mazel Dagim. Okay, the wide tooth, only one of the mazalos that's B'loshen Rabim. Even though Maznaim, a scale, is B'loshen Rabim, and what's the other one? What? Twins. That a twin by definition is two. A scale by definition has two different scales. That's what a scale is. But a fish, there's no need to say dog. You can say dog. So why does it? Why does it? Why do we say? Why does it say dogim? Give me a sitter, please. Give me a moment to I want to say I'm give a shpech for Mr. Kaladny. So why does it? You go up the shach, up the shach, find the shach. Mishabech for he rotsen for a choyle. He rotsen for a choyle. So why does it? Why does it say? Why do dogim? So two fish. Why there are two fish? What is dog? Dog is seven. Dalid gimel. Kolo oichel dog bidog nitzel mi dog. Anyone who eats a dog, a fish, bidog on Shabbos is nitzel mi dog from Dina Gehenim. Dina Gehenim. Two fish. Fish represents Shabbos. Shabbos. Anyone that Chazal say ilmole yisrael makabel two Shabbosos. Miyad nig olin, we will be redeemed immediately. Purim is the Pesach to Geula. It's the ultimate Geula to see the Yad Hashem in Teva. Dogim, it's the two Shabbosos. It's the last month of the year. It's Chodesh Treyosor. It's the end is Shabbos. Just like in the Berea, in creation, there were 7 days of creation. When you get to the end, Shavas Vayinofash, in the Chodshei Hashana, the last month is also Begeder Shabbos. Not just Shabbos, El Mole Yisrael Makabel Tu Shabbosais Mi'an Negolim. If you appreciate the beauty of Purim and all that it represents, how it's the Gemar, just like Shabbos is the Gemar, it brings the Geula. But it's interesting, dog is seven. 7 plus 7 is 14. What happened on the 14th day of Adar? Purim. Paul Miracle is on Purim. What is the mile of Dagim? Dagim, there's no Ayin Hara. Why is no Ayin Hara? There are two reasons. Two reasons. Number one, you don't see them. Really? You don't see them? You don't see. So some of them are very deep, Itaka don't see. But others, even if you do see them, the fact that they're enveloped by water, that what is water? Even if you, I can see the fish. It's floating around my fish tank. But there's no Ayin Hara. Because it's surrounded by water. What is water? Choy kol tzomei lechu lemayim. Torah. Klal Yisrael, if they're immersed in Torah, they're not subject to any type of difficulty. Okay, I want to say one mizmar. Mr. Kalani. Mr. Kalani is having surgery today. So let me just say one mizmar. Shiram alei sasonai el hulayani vezri elzim im adonai say shmoes alkin amud elav ayim shenacha. Yilei loyim loyim shem shemay yisrael loyim shem 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 loyim Mishabech Avaseinu, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Dovru, Shlomo, Hu, Yivrach, Yirapi, Es, Achayla, Avraham, Eliezer, Ben Charna, Bavur, Vies, Zev, Moshe, Ben Chaya, Shprinza, Vies, David, Ben Tos, Bavur, Shatzibur, Yisvalim, Bavur, Vizchazek, Lashvok, Yimoli, Rachel, Aleihem,
Amen,
Yachalimam,
Amen,
Rapaisam, Lachasikov, Lachayasam, Yishlach, Lohem, Mehera, Rafua, Shlema, Rashamayim, Lur Machi, Loreem, Ushisog, Yidehem, Pesach, Shachola, Yisrael, Rafua, Sanefesh, Rafua, Saduf,
Amen,
Ashto, Bagolo, Uvizman, Kodiv, and Amar, Amen.
Kadish, Mishen Kadish. Amen. Anyway, so Mark was supposed to pick him up afterwards, which would have been after the show.
I spoke to him yesterday.
They screwed up.
I don't know why. I'm ready
for him. So I said, go get him.
Rabbi Levine, I spoke to AB yesterday. What had changed from yesterday to today?
What did he say? There was no surgery today?
He didn't tell me anything about surgery. That's why I asked
him. I spoke to him at the beginning of the week. I spoke to him on Monday. Monday?
Oh. Well, he never speaks clearly. He told me he spoke for an MRI yesterday.
Maybe they changed.
No. I'm just saying. Told you what it is. I'm not.
He told me this when things happen.
Oh, I didn't know.
Maybe not. Maybe they changed the plans. It doesn't matter.
They're taking an MRI yesterday, so probably they were.
Did you say MRI? I said
yes,
more.
That's MS.
A friend of the family. Yes.
Okay. What do you say? You don't say by saying to me, I should have named Noah, the higher Megillah.
He's not related. He's related somehow with the Shemba. Yeah, one guy kneeled.
Two guys.
You sent him, you know? So who are these guys?
Arabs.
They were Arab?
Arabs.
They were in Brooklyn College, right?
Yeah.
But Brooklyn College is full of Arabs.
They kneeled, they played Wahyu, they kneeled, and then after they prayed in Arabic and they cursed the field.
Yeah?
And then they played against Wahyu.
Who won?
I don't know. Who cares who won?
Yeah, they should have smeared him.
Isn't that amazing?
They should have fouled him.
Where was this?
In Brooklyn College.
Basketball game against Wahyu University. They have their league, Brooklyn College team? Brooklyn College team.
Okay.
So before they began the game, they played at Tikva. So two of the basketball players kneeled during while they played at Tikva. After they finished Hatikva, they prayed in Arabic, and in their prayer Nusach curses Israel. They cursed Israel.
Who is this?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Intercollegiate.
Brooklyn College.
Who understood the Arabic?
Had a basketball game.
Huh?
Who against the Arabic? Yeshiva University. So at the beginning of the game, they play the Star Spangled Banner, and they play... And they sing Atikva, like a baseball, whatever.
Yeah.
Atikva. So during the playing of singing of Atikva, two players from Brooklyn College on the court kneeled in protest.
Yeah.
And after they finished the Atikva, they prayed in Arabic, cursing Israel.
I'm at Sriyani, but I don't think if it's why they're playing YU, why should they play that Tikva? I don't understand that.
Maybe they're playing at Yeshiva University. Maybe that's a policy.
Oh.
I don't know. It seems like it's that wasn't the issue.
But why are they worse than Sanders?
It's not a Chiddush. We all know it's not a Chiddush, but
he's stupid. What does he want to do to tell the people, I'm Jewish, vote for me, but all the Jews who are for pro-Israel, I'm not interested in
you. You want to understand the mind of a politician? You want to try to understand their mind?
And the truth is, they hold.
What did he say about Sanders?
He said that he would give